Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is indeed a pleasure to welcome back to our studios the director, the executive director of the Newport Classical Music Festival, Jillian Friedman Fox is here. Welcome back to the show, Jillian.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you. You have a certain glow about you. you always had a glow about you, but you have something new in your life.
That's right. My husband and I welcomed a baby last fall, Charlotte.
Charlotte?
Charlotte. She was born in October.
Excellent. Well, good luck and congratulations. And that's a wonderful thing. And has she impacted your work ability?
Not my work ability, but definitely, they say moms can do it all. I think just my multitasking abilities have just tripled. So
there you go. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you can. I know that you've been doing great at the festival since you've taken over. What's it been now, about 3 years?
Almost 3 years.
Almost
that's
3 years. And the festival has been running for how many years?
This will be the 54th festival.
54 years worth of music that's coming out of Newport, and it's always a wonderful event, usually mostly sold out. We'll talk about that, how that comes up. A little bit about you. You came to us 3 years ago from where?
From Dallas. I was the director of contemporary and saloon of programs at the Dallas Symphony Orchestra.
Aha. Uh-huh. And from Dallas to here, how did that happen?
I was approached by the search firm doing the executive search for this opportunity.
Okay. So yeah. There wasn't like you didn't grow up here or vacation here or something like that.
No, though my husband, Michael, had been coming to Newport for the jazz festival for almost a decade at that point. He was working at a jazz agency at the time and now runs his own agency. And so he had brought me here a couple of times and had jokingly said one point, wouldn't it be nice to live here one day? So when the recruiters called and I told him, I'm going to be taking a few interviews for this, he was very enthusiastic.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad that all worked out, and I'm glad we have you here with us. Now, the festival itself this year runs from July 4th to the 23rd,
that's
correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't be confused like in the old days, 50 years ago. That's all there was that. But you're now year-round, right?
That's right. So in addition to the festival, we also have a chamber series held at the Newport Classical Recital Hall, a beautiful new venue inside Emmanuel Church. So right downtown in Newport, and that runs September through June. We just had our last concert of the season with Stella Chen and Henry Kramer. It was a fabulous concert. And we also have community concerts, which are free programs in green spaces around Aquidneck Island that are really family friendly. And all of that kind of serves as the framework for us to have a really vibrant in-school education program as well. So not just the festival, though the festival I think has really grown as well, but a year-round classical music organization.
Right. And when we say not just the festival, it's one of the premier in the festivals in the world.
That's
so
right.
It's not like it's, just the festival.
Right.
it's a major, major event. It's a big thing in the Newport economy, and it gets a lot of people into the town and gets a lot of the people from the area to attend these concerts. And we should say right up front that several of them are already sold out, right?
That's right. Tickets go on sale in early April every year. So several of the concerts, such as Opera Night, as well as the two performances with Kelly O'Hara, sold out very early. So if you're not on our mailing list, please join our mailing list. Be the first to know and get your tickets in April every year so that you can get them before they sell out. But that being said, there are still tons of great seats for some amazing concerts that I'm excited to talk about today.
right, and we're going to talk about a lot of those concerts today. Let's start with the opening on July 4th. And that's a patriotic flavor, right?
That's right. So this is our answer to the Patriotics Pops concert that maybe folks are used to seeing in Boston or New York. This is a brass quintet. Fenway Brass Quintet from Boston is going to be performing a really wonderful Patriotic Pops concert in King Park, overlooking the water and the Pell Bridge, and then followed by fireworks, thanks to the city. So it's a really great evening.
And a great price.
It's free. That's right.
It's free. It's free, so that's take advantage of that one, all right? And then we move to the next day and to the Bellevue House. This is a concert we're going to be talking about in a moment. Then on the 6th of July, opening night is called Opening Night at the Breakers, right?
That's right.
It's actually the third event, but
it is. But I think that the first night at the Breakers is always considered a celebratory event for our patrons. The Breakers is an iconic venue for us. We have 14 concerts there this summer. It's our largest venue, and there's something really magical. Last year was my first festival where we were back indoors. The year prior, we were all outside.
Right.
And so opening night last year with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, I cried. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard a concert there, it is really special. And we're excited to have Simone Dinnerstein. It's in a really beautiful program.
And there are tickets still available for that at this point.
There are. A handful, but there are.
Now, when we say at this point, that could change within the hour.
That's true.
And I think we should give the website, which is newportclassical.org. So if you're at home and you want to check out these concerts as we're talking about them, newportclassical.org. And you even have a phone number, so some people can do it the old-fashioned way.
That's right. We're always happy to talk to you over the phone. Our number is 401-846-1133, and you can reach the box office extension 1. And we're always happy to provide recommendations and be able to help with anything you need. And if there's a concert you want to attend but it is sold out, send us an email at info@newportclassical.org, and we'll add you to the wait list.
All right. Well, we can go through all of the shows, which we'll do, but let's take a moment to get everybody in the mood and maybe move to our first pieces of music and tell us about what we're going to be listening to.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, July 5th, Cinta Quartet, which is a wonderful saxophone quartet, is going to be performing at Bellevue House, which is a really incredible venue. It's a private home, the home of Mr. Ronald Fleming, with the most immaculate gardens. So this is an outdoor concert in his beautiful outdoor space. And Cinta Quartet actually performed last season on our community concert series, and it was so well received by the audience, we knew we had to bring them back. Today we're going to be listening to three of Ligeti's Bagatelles from a work of 6 that they will be performing on the program. Ligeti's Bagatelles mark a significant point in his career when he transitioned from traditional compositional techniques to more experimental and avant-garde styles. The Bagatelles showcase his early exploration of complex rhythmic patterns, polyphony, and unconventional tonal structures. Often described as miniature gems due to their brevity and concise musical ideas, these works were originally composed for piano, but have been arranged for saxophone by quartet by the Cinta Ensemble. So today we will listen to the first 3 of the works in the series.
Excellent. We'll listen to those and take a short break and be back with more. Thank you. Newport Classical Music Festival is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, very pleased to be sitting with Jillian Friedman Fox, the executive director of the festival, and we listened to some music in that first segment. We're going to listen to a lot more that she's brought with her. And let's talk about the concert on Friday, July 7th.
That's right. We have Izori Quartet, which is a wonderful all-female string quartet. I'm really excited to have them here. It's actually one of the final performances with one of their founding members, cellist Karen Ozonian. So it's a really emotional performance. This actually happened last year, too. We had Spectral Quartet in their final performance ever as an ensemble.
Wow.
And you could feel the electric energy in the room. So I kind of love those kind of end of an arc stories in music.
End of an era.
Exactly. End of an era. But they're really well known and they've known for really energetic performances and really thoughtful curation of their programs.
Okay. And we're going to listen to a piece by them.
That's their arrangement of a piece. That's right. So we're going to hear Clara Schumann's Ich stand in Duken Traumen, which is one of three songs that Clara composed for Robert as a Christmas gift following their wedding. So this is just 2.5 minutes, but it's filled with tenderness and yearning. It was written after a period of them being apart for right after their wedding. And the pulsing texture in the accompaniment provides a sense of consistency, even as chromaticism betrays anxious thoughts and emotions.
Thank you.
as expected, beautiful music, and there's lots of beautiful music to be listening to when you go to the Newport Classical Music Festival. And Jillian, let's continue along our journey here. We talked about that concert, which was going to be on Friday, July 7th, and then we go on Saturday.
That's right. So Saturday, we return to the Breakers with Contus, which is an incredible low voice on all male vocal ensemble. I know this is your cup of tea for
it
sure.
Sure is, yeah. kind of on the vein of King Singers or Chanticleer.
That's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly right. So there's just a handful of tickets left for this one, but if you're a big fan of vocal choral music, snatch mm-hmm. these up. This is going to be a really great program.
I have heard their recordings and they are great. So don't miss that one. And then Sunday, July 9th.
We are continuing on a new tradition, which is to have a concert every year in the morning at Norman Bird Sanctuary. This is a really fun program, beautiful way to start the day, but not as extreme as coming in at 5:15 in the morning for a sunrise concert. So a nice 9 a.m. with birds joining in the music.
There
and this
go.
Features our festival artists, which is a resident ensemble of five that'll be here throughout the entire festival performing in about 9 concerts. And they live here the whole time, so it's really fun to be able to have a mix of resident ensemble as well as guest artists.
Sure. And then that night, back to the Breakers.
For opera night, this year's production is Così fan tutte, the Mozart classic. And so we're really, that one is sold out, unfortunately. But the new tradition of having opera night be a full opera in concert, unstaged, has been really well received. So we're excited to continue expanding on that tradition into the future.
Okay. Then we take Monday off.
That's right. That's correct. If you are coming for the full festival, do all your other non-musical plans on Mondays. Mondays are days off for the production team. We all need a day of rest.
Tuesday, July 11th.
Amit Peled, Israeli-American cellist, is joined by pianist Solomon Eichner in a program at the Newport Art Museum. Unfortunately, that concert is sold out, but earlier in the day, he will be doing a free talk at 11 a.m. at Temple Shalom in Middletown. So that'll be a performance lecture talking about his experience growing up in Israel as a Jewish musician, and there'll be some performance as well as some talk.
Excellent. Is that information on the site also?
It sure is.
All right, great. Then we go to Wednesday.
Wednesday, we are at the Elms in the morning, the first of 3 beautiful morning concerts at the Elms. This program invites guest artist Anthony Trionfo on flute, performing with our festival artists in a program of Mozart, Kulau, Ferenc, and Reger. So beautiful program.
Back to the Breakers that night.
Yes, for our true diehard cello fans or Baroque fans, Vladimir Fung, who's the youngest ever International Tchaikovsky Cello Competition winner, will be here to perform all 6 of the Bach cello suites. It'll be a long but really rewarding program. I'm really excited for that.
Wow, cool. All right. And then on Thursday, we're at the Elms in the morning again.
A return to the Elms for Classical Rivalries, a concert of Trevor Neal's inspiration about the musical rivalry between Mozart, Liszt, and Brahms. Those are fun program notes. So that one is sold out, but you never know. Maybe a ticket will come available. And that night, we're at the Breakers with French pianist Hélène Grimaud. Really, she's considered to be one of the most exceptional technicians and interpreters of the piano repertoire. So we're really excited to have her in a one of our more traditional programs.
There you go. And then the next morning is one of those that you talked about. You got to get up early.
5:15. That's right. 5:15. But it's certainly worth it. These concerts actually are the first to sell out every year. They sell out usually on sale day.
Now wonder why people need to get up at 4 o'clock or 3:30 to hear
really
music.
Is magical. You know, I was skeptical, but I was at both of them last year, 6 months pregnant, and I was still there at both of them. It's pretty amazing.
Cool. All right. And that's at the Chinese Tea House, right?
That's right, which is on the property of Marble House.
Okay. And then back to the Breakers that night.
That's right. So on Friday, July 14th, we're welcoming Norwegian violinist Elbjørg Hemsing. This is a program I'm particularly really excited about. She's an incredibly charismatic, virtuosic violinist. She's been performing since a very, very young age. I think she had her debut with the Norwegian orchestra, you know, at like 12 years old. I mean, just really an exceptional talent. And she's coming here for a couple of days. So the day prior to her recital on Thursday, July 13th, we are screening in partnership with Newport Film the film Forte, which is a documentary about four women in classical music, of which Elbjørg is one of the featured stars. And so that will be a free film screening at Aquidneck Park. And Elbjørg will be there along with the film's producer, Anastasia Bodenuk, and they're going to do a whole post-screening talk. And then next night on Friday, July 14th at the Breakers, Elbjørg will give a recital in collaboration with festival artist pianist Llewellyn Sanchez Warner. And Hemsing's newest album on Sony Classical is called Arctic, and it's a musical journey through a stunningly beautiful region and a celebration of a fragile and largely unexplored ecosystem that is currently threatened by climate change. And so it includes new work, new original music by film composers, including Jacob Shea, who wrote the music for The Blue Planet, as well as works inspired by Nordic folk songs. So today I've brought two pieces that'll be on the program, but are also on that amazing Sony album. And those are Jacob Shea's Arctic Suite, which is kind of the main anchor of that album. We're going to listen to Movement 4, as well as a piece called Dawn by Olya Yailo. Both of these works are cinematic and ethereal in nature, while also showcasing Elbjørg's passionate and moving playing. These works were actually written originally for orchestra and a violin, but they've been rearranged for a recital format and are also on the program Grieg, the most famous Nordic composer of all time, and a little Ravel for fun at the end.
All right, let's listen to that, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Jillian Friedman Fox is my special guest. I'm Mike Mano, and we're talking about the Newport Classical Music Festival, which is going to be held in many different venues throughout Newport and has been going for, what did you say, 54?
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm.
54 years. That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, we left off on Saturday, July 15th. We'll pick that up. But before we start talking about the rest of the concerts, I do want to mention that obviously this is a nonprofit organization.
Absolutely.
And donations and sponsorships and patrons are always welcome, right?
Absolutely. So ticket sales cover about 35% of the cost to be able to produce the festival, the chamber series, everything at the level that we do. So we're so incredibly thankful for our very generous donors. If you're interested in learning how you too can support the organization, all that information is available at our website, or you can give me a call. Our website is newportclassical.org, and our number is 401-846-1133. If you want to buy tickets, extension 1. If you want to make a donation, give me a call at extension 5.
Extension 5. There you go. All right. That's the way to find her. And if you call before midnight tonight, you can get an 8x10 autographed photograph. Well, maybe not. But let's pick it up on Saturday, July 15th. Emmanuel Church. Tell just a little bit of a story about Emmanuel Church.
Yeah, so Emmanuel Church is, the building itself was built in 1902 on Dearborn Street in downtown Newport. And it is beautiful Gothic revivalist architecture. And in addition to the really dramatic sanctuary with stunning stained glass windows, and that is the place where a very vibrant congregation meets weekly. There is also a recital hall space that had originally been the day school at Emmanuel Church. Many people might have sent their children there or have gone there themselves as children, which unfortunately had to close due to COVID. But what was a really disappointing and painful end of a story for many people became the beautiful start to a new story for Newport Classical and the beginning of a great partnership. So our year-round offices are there as well. And we've actually just started doing Box Office Friday. So if you haven't purchased your tickets yet and are hoping to do so in person, you can come this coming Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'd be happy to help you in person. And you can, see the space.
There you go. Well, that's great news. A lot of people do like that feeling of going in person.
That's right.
Picking out those tickets. Well, Emmanuel Church, 3 o'clock on Saturday, July 15th.
That's right. So this is going to be a wonderful concert led by our festival artists and a program that they helped curate. And I'm really excited. This concert will actually be in the sanctuary and is part of our commitment to help that church and the congregation flourish. So all proceeds from that concert go to support the church.
Okay. And then that evening, back to the Breakers.
That's right. Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra. There's certainly a large group of patrons who love Baroque music and love large ensembles. So this is a really exciting concert that brings both of those together in a program that's primarily Handel, but also features the East Coast premiere of a new work by Mason Bates called Appalachian Ire. It's really beautiful. So can't wait for folks to hear it.
Cool. Then you can sleep in on Sunday, July 16th. No, 5 o'clock in a.m.
No, that's okay. Right.
But it's back to the Breakers at night.
That's right. For Hermitage Trio, festival favorites who have performed both as a piano trio as well as being individual artists on the festival many times over the past decade at least. So we're really excited to welcome them back in a 150th Rachmaninoff birthday celebration. So they'll be performing Rachmaninoff's second piano trio as well as several works that were by composers who were inspired by Rachmaninoff themselves.
Okay, and on Tuesday, July 18th, the American Songbook, one of my favorites, obviously.
Sure. So this is a great program featuring instrumental arrangements of the American Songbook performed by our festival artists. So string quartet and piano. Going to be a really beautiful evening at, fan favorite. Blythe Wald is such a fun place to see a concert and to hear a concert, and the views, you just can't beat them.
Now, that night at Castle Hill Inn is a Newport Festival favorite, right?
Charlie Albright returns. That's right. And we're really excited to have him at Castle Hill. Again, another stunning view. Newport is certainly not lacking for them. And excited to have Charlie performing Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue on the first half. And on the second half, his iconic improvised sonata. So he takes notes from the audience and creates a work before their very eyes.
Wow, that sounds cool. All right, Wednesday.
Wednesday, we have a beautiful program of leader of classical art song, so with mezzo-soprano and baritone, as well as strings and piano. So really beautiful program. This one has been personally curated by our own Trevor Neal, and he actually just sent an email telling everyone just why they should hear this program. So it's I think this is one that folks really, it's going to be a memorable event. And so if you're looking for something new, I think this is the one to
There
attend.
You go. And the next step is a star performance.
That's right. So Kelly O'Hara of Broadway, opera, and now HBO's The Gilded Age fame is coming for an incredible recital showcasing works from her very incredibly illustrious career. We actually had to add a performance because the original performance on Thursday, July 20th sold out so quickly. There was a second performance added on Wednesday, July 19th, which also now has since sold out.
There you go. All right. And time to get up early again on Friday.
Friday morning, sunrise again at Chinese Tea House. But that evening, I'm really excited to welcome back Anthony McGill and Anna Polonsky. They were here in 2021 and performed at Bellevue House, which we talked a little bit about earlier in the show. The performance was so amazing. We said we need to bring them back inside this time, now that we are back indoors. And they will be performing at the Redwood Library in Anthoneum. This was a new venue for us last year, incredibly intimate, only seats about 100 people, and the acoustics are really clean. It's really a beautiful space. And this performance is actually a little bit of more like a structured like a benefit with an extended intermission with open bar, hors d'oeuvres. It's going to be a really special, glamorous evening.
We'll get to hear some music from them in a moment. Let's just finish off on Saturday, July 22nd at 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock, we continue our new tradition of featuring percussion ensembles. So we had Third Coast Percussion in 2021, So Percussion last year, and this year Excelsis Percussion continues that tradition. This year in a new venue, we'll be at the Colony House in Washington Park. I'm really excited about this one. We actually just had Britton Renee Collins, one of the members of this ensemble, here for a solo marimba concert, and the feedback was incredible. She really showcased the versatility of the instrument and was a really charismatic player. So I'm quite excited for her to come back with the full ensemble.
And then we're getting close to the end, right?
That's right. So this will be the Festival Artist Finale. So the last time we hear our five resident artists perform as a group, performing an evening of piano quintets. Who doesn't love a good piano quintet? And this piece actually, in addition to the Schumann, Bruch, and Shostakovich piano quintets, which are just, oh my God, what a program, also features a new work, the world premiere of a Newport Classical Commission by Curtis Stewart. This continues our tradition and our commitment to commissioning new works every summer by a BIPOC or female composer to really establish our commitment to the future and the diversity of the classical canon. This work is called The Gilded Cage, and the title is inspired by a quote from Paul and Gladys Zapari's cousin, Jamie Wade Comstock. So this is the family of the Vanderbilts, who said, "The gilded cage was much more interesting when it still had birds inside it." And so this is Curtis's musings on who were the birds that actually lived inside the homes. Was it the Vanderbilts, or was it perhaps the caretakers and the people who lived there the rest of the year?
Well, there you go. And then it all finishes on Sunday, July 23rd.
That's right. The Knights. Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait for this concert with Eric and Colin Jacobson, the artistic directors of this incredible chamber ensemble featuring several new works alongside the Vivaldi Flute Concerto, Bartok's Romanian folk dances, as well as Copland's iconic Appalachian Spring. So it's a really, really awesome program.
Well, there's so much involved in this, and you should be very proud of the fact that, once again, it just looks amazing. Everything is going along well. A lot of concerts sold out or almost sold out. So make sure, if you're listening and you want to go, you should be going. Check out the website at newportclassical.org and get your tickets. Or on Friday, take a trip and visit the box office that's now open on Fridays.
That's right.
Okay, we have one piece of music left. Before we do that, I just want to thank you for coming in again, and congratulations on your family, and I hope everything goes well through this very busy month of July for you.
Well, thanks so much for having me. We love our partnership with WCRI, so it's a great way to start the summer.
Excellent. Tell us about this last piece of music.
So finally, we are going to hear Weber's Grand Duo Concertante. So originally, Weber thought this work might become a sonata, but when he saw that the music's shape evolving into a showpiece for two virtuosic performers, he named it Grand Duo Concertante. The work was used to use the complete range of the clarinet, dramatically showing off the instrument with all the possibilities of its sound and color capabilities. The British music critic John Warwick suggested that the work in which two instruments actually take on near equal roles, almost like a double concerto, but without the orchestra. And it really is considered a very highly virtuosic piece for both performers. So today we're going to listen to the first movement, which this performance is by Anthony McGill with pianist Gloria Chen. But I hope you'll come hear this piece live this summer when Anthony is joined by pianist Anna Polonsky.
Excellent. We'll listen to as much as possible, and then we'll see the rest of you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.